Ever since they entered Canaan, the children of Israel were in constant battle. From the day they crossed the Jordan River and encountered the Battle of Jericho, it was one battle after another. You must have wondered if the Israelites ever said a time or two, "Come on, God, can't you give us a break? Can't you just let up a little bit on the enemy?" As you face challenges of life, perhaps you've asked that same question. "Come on, God, can't you give me a break? Enough already." Sadly, friends, as we face the finish, it's not going to get any easier. Bible prophecy tells us that some of the most challenging battles of Earth's history are yet to come. So how do we face the future? How do we build faith for the finish? Join me as we explore today one of the old stories of Scripture to gain a practical insight of faith for the finish. But first, let's pray. Lord, as we face uncertain times, we are grateful that we do not have to face the uncertainty alone. And so today, as we take a look at Scripture, may we find hope, comfort, courage as we face our challenges in life. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to open your Bibles this morning to the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel. And today we're going to look at a story that if you grew up a Christian, you've probably heard and or told countless times. It's one of those stories that if you grew up in the church, your dad and mom probably told you that story. You probably heard it in Sabbath school. You probably heard it if you went to a church school. You probably heard it there. It's one of those stories that you've probably told to your children as you tuck them into bed. Yes, it's a story that we never grow tired of hearing. It's the story of David and Goliath. Okay, do we have some slides here? There we go. It's the story of David and Goliath. And today we're going to take a look at that story. Again, a story that you're all familiar with. But we're going to take a look at this story and seek to discover how it can apply to our life today. As we begin unfolding this story, we see some rather interesting developments. The nation of Israel, as I said, was in almost constant battle. And they were battling the Philistines. They were facing their challenges with the Philistines. And there was a time, this was during the reign of King Saul, and the Philistines had made an assault against Israel. There was a major showdown, and they decided to bring one of their own champions, Goliath, to battle. And Goliath came out and he challenged the Israelites. He says, "Listen, pick somebody to fight me, and whoever wins, that nation will serve the other nation." Day after day, Goliath came out to taunt Israel, to make fun of them. The Bible says here in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 4, it says, "And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." Folks, this guy was about 10 feet tall. Now just think of some tall superstar basketball players that you know. Those guys would be puny compared to Goliath. Some of these guys are 7 feet tall. Goliath was 3 feet taller than that. Amazing. No wonder why Israel was intimidated. This guy came out day after day, mocking them. It says, and he had a bronze helmet, verse 5, on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. What's a coat of mail? Have you ever wondered what a coat of mail is? Basically, it was an ancient Kevlar vest, so to speak. It was a piece of leather that they wore around their upper body, and on that piece of leather was sewn sheets of metal, kind of like scales, that were there to protect their upper body. A coat of mail. It says he had a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And verse 6, and he had bronze armor on his legs, and bronze and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. Folks, it's calculated that Goliath was carrying around more than 150 pounds just in his armor. I mean, that's amazing. Of course, he was 10 feet tall, so carrying around 150 pounds for Goliath wouldn't be like you or I trying to carry around 150 pounds. But here he is. He's carrying all this. Basically, Goliath was no wimp. Goliath was a big man. And as I said, he came out and he taunted, he cried to the armies of Israel every day, and he taunted them. And he says, who's able to fight? Which one of you is willing to come take me on? And I want you to notice what happens in verse 11. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. The word in Hebrew means to be broken to pieces. Dismayed and greatly afraid. They were broken to pieces mentally and emotionally. I mean, can you imagine being hammered with this mocking day after day after day? It began to wear them down. They were broken down mentally and emotionally. The soldiers were. But they were broken down mentally and emotionally because their leader was broken down mentally and emotionally. When people are out of fellowship with God, they can only lead others into defeat. And that was the case with Saul. And so, these people didn't know what to do. But along comes a little shepherd boy by the name of David. David was one of 8 sons of Jesse from Bethlehem. And David's older brothers were out there fighting the battle with the rest of the Israelite army. They were out there on the front lines, and David was out tending the sheep. And one day he got a call from his father saying, hey, listen, I think it's time for you to go and check up on your brothers. I prepared some special things. I've got some food for them, and I've got these special cakes of cheese that I want you to give to their supervising officers, and I want you to go to the front line of battle and give me a report on how your brothers are doing. And so David arrives on the scene, and he comes about the time that Goliath comes out and begins his mocking, and he's listening. And he hears what's going on. He hears Goliath taunting Israel. He hears Goliath mocking them, saying all kinds of stuff about them. Verse 16. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. David came one of those days to hear. And he inquires, what's going on? This guy has been about this for 40 mornings and evenings, he comes out every day mocking and taunting us. Can you imagine how that must have worn on the morale of Israel? Well, the Bible goes on to say, verse 17, then Jesse said, this is where he goes to take his food to his brothers, and he's there hearing this. And when he arrives, he asks his brothers, and he asks the other soldiers, what are you going to do about this? And he discovers something interesting. He discovers that his brothers, and he discovers that all of the other soldiers are a bunch of cowards. Notice verse 24. Verse 24 of 1 Samuel 17. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. They were all just a bunch of cowards. They were afraid of what might happen. In verse 25 it says, so the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that that man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You know, Saul is a coward. His army is cowardice. And Saul actually resorts to offering a bribe. Listen, anybody who can take out this Goliath guy, you know, I'll give you great riches and honor. I'll give you one of my daughters. And I'll even make sure that your family is exempt from paying taxes. Did everything he could to try to bribe somebody into taking on Goliath. But as David heard this, David was incensed that someone would insult his country and that someone would insult his God. Now think for a minute about David's options. David wasn't a soldier. David was not there on the front lines of the battlefield because he was one of the military officers of Saul's army. David was just a shepherd boy. He was there because his dad asked him to go and take his brothers some food and to check up on them. So when you stop to think about it, folks, David had some options. He could have criticized Saul and his army for their apparent lack of a plan. On the other hand, David had nothing invested here. He could have easily delivered the supplies and said, hey man, I'm checking out of here. I'm going home. He could have said, get me out of here as fast as I can because I don't want to be around when the ship goes down. But David was not a coward like Saul. David was not a coward like all the other soldiers in the Israelite army. In fact, David was courageous, and Saul was cowardly. He's hearing all of these taunts against his country and against his God. And notice what happens next, verse 28. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. He's now taking some criticism from his older brother. His older brother is saying, hey, listen, what are you doing down here, David? Really? You know, you need to go back home. You need to go take care of those few sheep that Dad has given you to take care of. And it's interesting. I sometimes wonder in this story the parallels that may exist to the church today. There are people in the pews who don't like the way it's being done, but they aren't doing anything to change it themselves. The only thing they have to offer is their criticism. Eliab was one of those people. He was quick to chastise his brother, but he wasn't offering any options himself. He was a coward, like the rest of the Israelite army. And then notice what happens now in verse 29. And Saul was still more afraid. Verse 29. And David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause?" David doesn't get defensive. He just asks questions. He doesn't get in some kind of an argument with his brother Eliab. He just asks him the question. He says, "Hey, listen, man, isn't there a cause?" Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. These people answered him, and the first ones did. Now when the words which David spoke, verse 31, were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." David takes his case to Saul. David wasn't skilled in warfare. Goliath was. Saul said, "Hey, listen, you're just a youth." How many times, friends, have I heard that one? "You're just a youth." Apparently, it's not a problem just unique to today. David encountered it in his day. In fact, notice what Paul told to Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth." Let no man despise my youth. Hang on to this argument that Saul uses on David, because we're going to come back to it in just a minute. But let's progress on for a second here. Notice what happens. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, verse 37, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." David gives the glory to God. "Just as God delivered me from the hand of the lion and the hand of the bear, I know that God can deliver Israel from the hand of this Philistine. I know we can defeat Goliath." The Lord gave him victory before. The Lord would do it again, and David knew it. David knew where his source of strength came from. Pride and self-glory had filled Saul's heart, and now every obstacle to Saul seemed insurmountable. Everything. Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." In his effort to vindicate himself, Saul had forgotten that with God all things are possible. You see, Saul should have remembered the battle with the Amorites in 1 Samuel chapter 11. That's in the early stages of Saul's reign. That was the time when the Amorites threatened some of the Israelites that they were going to gouge out their eyes. You remember that story? What did Saul do? Saul says, "Hey, listen, we're not going to put up with this stuff. We're not going to mind these people's threats. And so Saul rallied the troops of God, and God gave him victory. But guess what? Saul forgot the event. He became too full of himself. As you face apparent insurmountable challenges, never forget what God has done for you in the past. Never forget. I love this quote from Ellen White. You're familiar with it. We have nothing to fear for the future except as we shall forget the way the Lord has led us and His teaching in our past history. Friends, we have nothing to fear for the future. As God has been with us in the past, so He will be with us in the future. God gives victory in response to our faith. God had tested David privately with the lion and the bear. And now he would test him again with a giant. If we are faithful in the private battles, God will see us through our public challenges. Too often we faint at small tests that come our way. But it's little tests, friends, that prepare us for the bigger battles that are sure to come. And now notice what happens next. Beginning with verse 38. So Saul clothed David with his armor. And he put a bronze helmet on his head. And also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk. And he had, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Verse 40. Then he took his staff in his hand. And he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Saul tried to convince David, okay, listen, buddy, if you're going to go to battle, then you better take care of it in the right way. I'm going to outfit you with superior military clothing. I'm going to make sure that you have the best armor possible. And so Saul gave David his very own armor. Now Saul was a big man himself. In fact, the Bible describes him as being head and shoulders above everybody else. I don't know how tall David was, but David was apparently smaller than Saul. But here's Saul putting on this huge armor of his own on David to go out and fight Goliath. And it's clumsy. It doesn't feel right. And David's walking and
he's almost like tripping over it. He can't handle it. And so he comes back to Saul and he says, hey, listen, I can't do this. He takes it off. He makes himself completely vulnerable. He doesn't have a coat of mail on. He doesn't have a shield. All he has is a staff, a sling, and 5 smooth stones.
Everyone must fight in their own armor. You can't fight in your neighbor's armor. You can't fight in your co-worker's armor. You can't fight in your fellow church member's armor. You've got to fight in your own armor. I love this little quotation from the Seventh-day Adventist Bible commentary. It says, we see a man in public life who takes well with the people, and we copy his mannerisms, hoping to find success through them. But God wants men who will be themselves, men who will learn from each day's experience what they need to know in order to solve tomorrow's problems. Thank God for men who dare to use the equipment God has provided them. David chose to use humble, simple weapons. Weapons that he had used before, weapons that were tried and true for him. And stop and think about it for a minute. We took a look at a description of how Goliath had equipped himself for war. How Goliath was clothed in this great armor. How he had a spear and a javelin and how he had this big shield and how all of this stuff weighed over 150 pounds. Compare that, my friends, with the simple weapons of war that David had.
a staff, a sling, and some stones. That's all he had. It's interesting because I'm afraid that Las Vegas bookies would have had a heyday on this one. The odds were stacked against David. Any thinking, logical person would have taken a look at the odds and said, David doesn't have a ghost of a chance. He is going to be squashed by Goliath in nothing flat, and this thing is going to be over, and the Israelites are going to be running from the Philistines. And so David comes out there to face the Philistine. It says, verse 41, so the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. Bible says that Goliath disdained David. He looked at him as inferior. I can only imagine what Goliath was thinking. What's up with you Israelites? What kind of games are you playing with me? That you send out this boy. He says, look, he's only a youth. Now, would you hit the pause button here? Think about it. In this story, David is insulted three times with regard to his youth. Three times. First, he's insulted by his older brother Eliab. Next, by King Saul, and now by Goliath. There seems to be a general idea here that youth can't be trusted, that they aren't capable of doing something strategic for the kingdom of God. But David debunked that myth. Yet it's interesting to discover that that myth seems to still linger today. We seem to forget that our church was founded by a generation of youth. And I believe that youth must play a major role in proclaiming the gospel. I believe that in the final scenes of Earth's history, as we face the finish line, that youth are going to once again play a major role in finishing the proclamation of the gospel. I believe it, folks. And the older I get, the more hopeful I am about that. Verse 43. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Neither the criticism of David's older brother, nor Saul's unbelief, nor the insults of Goliath kept David from trusting in absolute victory from the Lord. Notice 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. In Romans chapter 8, verse 37. In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. How are we conquerors, friends? Are we conquerors by ourselves? No, we are conquerors through what? Through Him, through Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors. As Christians today, we don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. Because the battle was won at the cross. We don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. Verse 46. Let's take a look at verse 44. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel.
Pretty bold for a kid to go and stand in the face of this giant and to say those kinds of words. But notice what he says. He ends it. He says, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. David knew that he didn't possess the power to slay the giant, but he knew God could. And so the final showdown happens. David picks a stone, puts it in the sling, hurls it around his head, lets it loose, and it flies through the air and lodges squarely in the forehead of Goliath. Goliath staggers. Goliath falls. David runs up. Doesn't have a sword, remember? But he pulls out Goliath's sword. I can only imagine that, you know, here's this huge sword. It weighs a lot. But with that, as gross as it may sound, folks, he chops off the head of Goliath. The Philistine army is standing there in stunned belief, but not for long. Because the Israelites see what is happening and they take off shouting in triumph, chasing the Philistines. Victory comes to Israel that day. David won the victory in the face of criticism and disbelief because he maintained complete dependence on God. What kind of giants are you facing today? Marriage, family, finance, job, church? I love this quote from Ellen White in Desire of Ages. She says, God never leads his children otherwise than they would choose to be led. If they could see the end from the beginning and discern the glory of the purpose which they are fulfilling as co-workers with him. The story of David and Goliath is a microcosm of the great controversy between Christ and Satan. Like Goliath, the devil is attacking the character of God. That's happening all around us. It's happening in our church, in our homes, in our community, in our world. Are we going to stand idly by, friends, and allow the devil to defy the Most High God? Or are we going to allow the Holy Spirit to come upon us and use us to vindicate the character of Jesus to the entire world? The battle belongs to the Lord, but the war is being waged through people like you and me. Make no mistake about it, friends. David didn't defeat Goliath. God did. And just like he used David to slay a giant, he wants to use you and me to be giant slayers today. Are you ready to go to battle? You may feel inadequate. You may seem like you have nothing to offer. Friends, God isn't looking for powerful, able-bodied people. He is looking for willing hearts. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. There's a war going on out there. It's a call to arms, friends, but not with sword and spear, with the Word of God and prayer. And next Sabbath, I'm going to give a specific invitation to go to battle. I want you to pray about it this week. I want you to pray about how God is calling you to be a David in a Goliath world. How God is calling you to be a giant slayer through his power. Are you ready and willing to allow Jesus to use you in the battle? No matter how old, no matter how young you are you ready and willing to allow Jesus to use you to slay the giants? Let's pray. Oh Lord, we say thank you for for the inspirational stories like David and Goliath. Lord, we're moved to think of how David, in the face of incredible odds, was able to experience victory over Goliath. And yet, Lord, as we look at the finer nuances of this story, we realize that David didn't accomplish that through power of his own. He gained victory through his Lord. And we want to experience that today. We want to recognize that as we go from this sanctuary into the battlefield that rages around us, as we encounter the enemy, defeat will not come through our own power, but only as we connect with you, only as we allow you to fight the battle in us and through us. So give us victory, Lord. There's a battle to be won in Simi Valley, and we want to be soldiers of the Most High God, willing, ready to serve, to go out in battle, to join you, and to experience complete victory in Jesus. Bless us to this end, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.